Ladies and gentlemen, this is Rick Rule for the Natural Resources Investment Symposium. I'd like to welcome you back to the corporate presentation part, the virtual part of the Natural Resources Investment Symposium. And I'm particularly delighted to welcome Tony Rita, CEO of Tectonic Metals. Despite his young age, he has been a friend of Sprott, a friend of mine, and a friend of shareholders for a very long time. Tony, first of all, thank you for your ongoing efforts on behalf of our investors and shareholders. And thank you, too, for your ongoing support of the Natural Resources Investment Symposium.
You're so welcome. It's an honor and pleasure to be and do all of that. So thank you.
Tony, we like to begin these interviews by having people describe their past successes. There's no better indication of future success than past success. So tell us something about what your team has done in the past and why investors should care about what you think you can do for them in the future.
Yes. So the first thing that comes to mind when I think about that question and how to properly answer it, you know, you might say our biggest success was the acquisition of a project in the Yukon called the Coffee Gold Project that was never drilled prior to us. We hit gold on the very first hole. In a very short period of time, we delineated 5 million plus ounces, produced a robust feasibility study. That was in the span of, say, 7-8 years, depending on when you pick your starting point. And we also raised 165 million, brought in some very notable names into the story, and ended up selling that for 520 million. But when I really think about that question a bit more about the actual true successes, it's not necessarily the win, it was surviving the pain perhaps that we're currently experiencing right now. And that reminds me to 2008, as we all know, it was a disaster, somewhat short-lived, but nonetheless, it was still quite painful. And Camnex's share price got disseminated from, say, 75 cents all the way down to 6.5 cents. I remember a phone call to you, actually, Rick, during that time frame, maybe crying a bit, maybe asking for a bit of support in the market. And our share price at 6.5 cents, things looked bleak, but there was a quick turnaround. And I think the endurance and the perseverance to survive that one, to survive 2013, when gold crashed $400 in one day, those are the times that actually really define your character and your commitment to the company, but also to the endeavor of trying to find a mine, which is not the easiest thing to do, as we all know.
So your team spent 7 or 8 years and $120 million to generate a $500 million plus sale, which is wonderful. After you had that success, you set out to do something. You built Tectonic. Tell us what you set out to do.
Yeah,
what you're still attempting to do, of course.
Yeah, well, quite simply, you know, we're here to find a mine, but do it as ethically and as responsibly as possible. And that not only benefits our shareholders, but also the stakeholders. You know, we looked at our experiences at Camnex and our experience with other investments in the resource space. We looked at our peers and the projects that they have and the process that they have taken to take project forward into production. And asked ourselves, as I do as a human being, as a father, and also as a CEO, is there a better way to do this? Is there an easier way to do this? And you know, we believe there is. So we're learning from the past. We still don't have it perfect, but we think we've set out to do something different with Tectonic that is, I think, going to be advantageous in the end here.
Was there something in Tectonic? Was there something about the resumes of the people that caused you to focus on a certain rock type, that caused you to focus, as an example, on Alaska? What is it that you thought that you could do better, that you think you maybe have done better?
Yeah, well, exactly. So our experience in the Yukon, which shares a political border, not a geological border, with Alaska, you know, Alaska really caught my eye. It's elephant-sized country, high-grade deposits, vastly underexplored. But the ability to work directly with native corporations was the draw. They own their mineral rights, sometimes surface and subsurface, and they're very sophisticated. These are multi-billion dollar corporations. And I saw that this would be a shift, that if we can work directly with them on day one, not on year five, not on year six, but doing it on day one, and if we could also form production agreements on early stage assets, which is some might say is asinine, but we thought this would be, you know, having to find goalposts would help everyone And then the other thing that's different, we invited them to be shareholders in our company. And we're actually backed by Indigenous people or Native people in Alaska, and we're using their capital to explore on their land. And as far as I'm aware, that's quite a novel concept. And it was the like I said, the collective experience of the founders that really brought that together, and our geological experience. We have a very well-known Alaskan geologist by the name of Kurt Freeman. That's one of our founders. The rocks drew us in because we all recognized opportunity geologically and both and also with the Native corporations.
So let's focus on that. Let's focus on the rocks now. Tell us something about the assets, how you propose to make us money, and maybe more pointedly, when might we make that money?
Great questions. So the assets, they all have a similar theme in the sense that they present scale. Some of them are near tier one deposits, or ones near an actual producing mine that I would call world class. They offer grade. They're positioned at the discovery stage. If you're familiar, oh, actually you are, I know, but if your readers or listeners are familiar with the Pierre-Lassonde curve, we believe the best place to make money is taking something from moose pasture to economic. So something perhaps that's never been drilled before, something that has a few drill holes, but looking at that project through a modern lens with current knowledge, geological knowledge, and defining a path forward that's real. We're not necessarily fans of conceptual play. So these are one project, for example, is near the Donlin project, which is 45 million ounces. This belt has produced a world-class deposit, probably the largest undeveloped gold deposit in the world, and there's not one junior exploring in that belt. Well, it doesn't take rocket science to say, okay, well, if this belt can produce one of those, what's the chance of it producing another? So these projects do have the ability to turn to something, I believe, economic in a relatively short period of time. We have some new theories. That project that I mentioned there, we're actually going to be exploring it for the first time in 25 years, starting this summer. And we have some high-grade structures that we've applied new thinking, new interpretation that we're going to be drill testing this summer. So we're pretty excited about what's ahead. And we're currently at a very low in the markets, but we think there's definitely opportunity to create value for shareholders in the imminent future here.
So grassroots exploration, particularly district scale grassroots exploration in fairly remote terrain like Central Alaska, takes a lot of money. How much money do you have? How much money will you need for the next field season? What sort of funding obligations are third parties like the indigenous landowners prepared to stump up? And if there's a balance, where will you get it?
Yes, so to that point, we have currently under $1 million in the treasury. We're raising 3 million. We have Crescat, which is advised by well-known geologist Quentin Henning, being the anchor on that investment. We also have our Native corporation coming in again to lead that financing as well, alongside of Crescat, and we have a few other shareholders. So we'll have just over 4 million or close to 4 million post closing of this financing. And you're right, it is challenging to explore. I mean, all grassroots exploration, whether it's in Alaska or northern Canada or northern Quebec, Ontario, pick your jurisdiction. This is why you have to be very targeted and focused and make your dollar go as far as possible. And this is part of our acquisition process where we build out a plan, a 3-year plan, where I already know ahead of time how much capital it's going to take. And that flat project, going back to Donlin, the first year's program is actually going to be metallurgy. My goal is to either kill that project or to add millions of value to it with by only spending, say, $300,000 by doing a met program. So you have to think outside the box, and you have to be prudent. And ultimately, you have to do the best you can with the capital you have. But we've been very successful in raising capital and actually finding gold.
Tony, thank you for your decade-long support of your shareholders and also your support of the Natural Resources Investment Symposium, pardon me. We're delighted to have you with us and best of luck.
Thank you so much, Rick.